Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday, March 30th, 2022 meeting of the House Education Finance Committee. Remote hearings are held in accordance with House Rule 10.01. This rule has been posted online and is linked to in our public meeting notice on the House website. All remote hearings will be recorded and live streamed by House Public Information Services. Members have the contents of their virtual packets available to them, and for the public, these materials have been posted online. Members, if you're looking for all of these items in one place, they are attached to the calendar event that you have that Ms. Burt sent for today. To get on the list to be recognized by the chair, members using the Zoom interface have the ability to raise their hand via the app. Ms. Burt will place your name on the list to be recognized. Mr. Lee, would you please call the roll?
Thank you, Chair Dabney. Roll call will commence now. Chair Dabney?
Present.
Representative Sandsted?
Present.
Representative Kreshaw?
Present.
Representative Bennett?
Present.
Representative Daniels?
Present.
Representative Damith?
Present.
Representative Dravkowski? Representative Dravkowski?
Present.
Representative Erickson?
Erickson, present.
Representative Feist?
Present.
Representative Jordan?
Present.
Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, present.
Representative Mueller? Representative Mueller? Representative Richardson?
Present.
Representative Thompson?
Thompson, present.
Representative Walgamott?
Walgamott, present.
Representative Shung?
Present.
Representative Joaquin?
Present.
Mr. Chair, we have quorum.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lee. Representative Sandsted, have you had the opportunity to review the minutes from Tuesday, March 29th? And if so, would you like to move approval of those same minutes?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I have had the opportunity to review the minutes of Tuesday, March 29th, and I do want to move them for approval.
Thank you very much. Members, any discussion to the Sandsted motion approving the Tuesday, March 29th minutes? Seeing none, members, this is a voice vote. If you would please unmute. All those in favor of the Sandsted motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Sandsted. Members, our first bill hearing for today is House File 3926 from Representative Keeler. It's our intention to lay this bill over by 10:55 a.m. Representative Richardson, would you like to make a motion to move House File 3926 to be before the committee and to lay it over for further consideration and possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Richardson. Welcome to the committee, Representative Keeler. Please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 3926 is a bill that came out of many conversations with my teachers. Our education systems and our teachers are extremely important to me. And so one of the things I've done over the last couple years is actually sit down and listen and learn from them. Because I think when we want to make adjustments in a system, it's important to talk to the people that it's impacting. So one of the things our teachers have brought up is their lack of useful prep time. So what this bill does is it changes what we have right now. It increases prep time that they earn every 5 minutes for every 25 minutes in the classroom. This bill would change it to earning prep time for 5 minutes for every 17 minutes in the classroom, which would increase their prep time from roughly right now 45 minutes to 66 minutes. The other part of this bill is saying that when teachers have prep time, it's uninterrupted. I don't know about your school districts, but I know that when I was working in the schools, a lot of times our teachers would have prep time, but then that's when they would be scheduled for IEP meetings or other events. And so they're being pulled away from that actual useful prep time. I think it's really important that we listen to our teachers. We've heard it over and over that this pandemic created really, really difficult times on our schools. But I am here to tell you that this prep time issue was an issue before COVID. Our teachers have been struggling with this for a long time. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'm going to yield the rest of my time to testifiers so they can actually tell the stories of our teachers.
Thank you very much, Representative Keeler. First on my list of testifiers is Alyssa Halverson, a third grade teacher from S.G. Reinerston Elementary in the Moorhead Public Schools. Ms. Halverson, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, I'm Alyssa Halverson. I teach third grade at S.G. Reinerston Elementary in Moorhead. I encourage you to support House File 3926 in support of preparation time for teachers. Under our contract, I receive 1 hour of prep time each day. The rest of my day, I teach 8 and 9 year olds. Since COVID, I supervise students in my room for breakfast, which leaves 5 minutes from the time my contract day begins until I am with students. Instruction takes careful preparation to be effective, and the demands on our reserve prep time have increased, making it much harder to meet the needs of our students. Our school is committed to professional learning communities as means of aligning curriculum and examining assessments to ensure quality learning for all students. We now give up one preparation period a week to PLC team meetings. Our teachers also use prep time to attend IEP meetings, evaluation meetings, and student support meetings. That means that the time is not available for preparation. I've been teaching for 6 years. Before COVID, my instructional days were more predictable. I could prepare in 2 or 3 prep periods each week, leaving the other days to contact parents, answer emails, develop differentiated lessons for students who needed acceleration or catch up, communicate with teachers like the teachers on my team, English language teachers, or special ed teachers. But now my prep has to be day to day. Our students are less predictable. We have more students who have experienced trauma, and their access to counselors has not increased. The individual demands of each child means I need to frequently revisit and revise instruction and expectations. This is a much more complex process than it was, with increased focus on achievement, and it's unlikely to change soon. As a result of the increased demands on prep time for instruction as well as additional meetings, we can no longer accomplish our work in the contract day. And to be honest, you teachers do stay within the contract day, where staying late and coming early each day is vital to keep up with our job. We're exhausted and feel inadequate in meeting the needs of our learners. We cannot be the teachers our students need us to be without time to prepare. This bill, which gives teachers more time and guards their time for the express use of preparing for students, would be a significant support for all teachers. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Halverson. Next on my list is Kate Schmidt, an elementary teacher at in the Rosemont Apple Valley Eagan School District and president of the Dakota County United Educators. Ms. Schmidt, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Davney. Good morning, Chair Davney and committee members. My name is Kate Schmidt. I'm a 32-year veteran elementary school teacher from the Rosemont Apple Valley Eagan School District, and I currently serve as the president of the Dakota County United Educators. As our previous testifier said, prep time is not really about teachers, it's about students. In order for students to get the education they need and deserve, teachers need time to plan learning experiences to meet the needs of individual students. When I started teaching 32 years ago, I planned one lesson each day for each subject area. They were great lessons, but I was not meeting the individual needs of my students. Today, we plan a mini lesson for each subject that is followed by small group instruction for as many as 5 different learning levels. The amount of planning this requires is markedly higher, and it is the right thing to do for our students. Teachers must also plan what students will be doing when they're not in that small group, often referred to as managed independent learning, and the key word there is managed. The teacher must manage this individual learning for it to be successful, and that takes planning time. Our middle schools used to have an 8-period day, and teachers had 2 prep periods a day, one to plan with their grade level teams and one to plan with their subject area teams. Due to budget cuts, our middle school schedule was changed to a 6-period day with only 1 prep period per day per teacher. Teachers no longer have time to meet as a grade level team to talk about interdisciplinary units or to discuss individual students who may need more support. This change has affected our kids and their learning. One positive outcome of the pandemic was the opportunity for teachers to experience more planning time. Our district implemented many different learning models over the last 3 years, and almost all of them included more planning time for teachers than usual. Every teacher I have talked to has raved about how the extra time allowed them to support student learning on a whole new level. More planning time is the number one request I hear from my members on a daily basis. If we truly want to take care of students, teachers need time to plan for their success. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schmidt. Members, when this hearing was posted, the public was provided with instructions on how to sign up to testify during the public portion of this bill hearing. We received one request for public testimony from Nancy Antoine, elementary principal of the Northfield Public Schools. Principal Antoine, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Beatty and members. I'm Nancy Antoine. I'm the principal of Bridgewater Elementary in Northfield, and this is my 15th year here. I'm also the 2021 National Distinguished Principal for the state of Minnesota, and I serve on the Board of School Administrators as well. When I look at teacher prep time, I agree it is extremely valuable. Extremely valuable. However, going through the legislative process, I don't think is a way to get this done, because if we don't have, when I started in Northfield, we had 50-minute prep times. So that's what the teachers had. And without that local control, I would not have been able to increase that to 60 minutes per day for all of my teachers. And that does not include things like our PLC meetings, because we have a 1-hour late start within our district that is specifically for PLCs, and that's how we incorporate that. Also, our teachers get a choice whether they want to have IEP meetings and other meetings during their prep time or at another time when we would bring in a sub to cover them. So when I look at those things, without local control, that's not going to happen. I would have been kept to those 50 minutes that I had before. I also look at that, and it's like the biggest thing is, if I were to increase my teacher prep time, then I would have to add part-time specialists to make that happen. So that's going to increase my budget, which I don't have right now. We're under budget cuts. So that would mean I would need to increase my class sizes to make that happen. Looking at part-time employees, a part-time FIA teacher, part-time music teacher, part-time science teacher, I can barely find full-time employees, much less part-time employees. And then on top of that, I would need a space to put them so they could teach. I don't have that. So I would need to add to my budget and increase a building project budget, which I don't have. And the worst part for me is that the fact that it would limit direct instruction time for students. So this is something that I would love to have left with local control, so we can increase the amount of prep time if we are able to do so within our district without looking at additional cuts, which we already have. Thank you very much for allowing me this opportunity today.
Thank you, Ms. Antoine. Members, please note that Representative Mueller has joined us. Questions from the committee. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Keeler, for the bill and testifiers. Thank you for your testimony. Representative Keeler, so the bill is reducing the amount of time that teachers are teaching, from what I can read in the bill. Are we going to be paying them during this time they're not teaching?
Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Drazkowski, I think I would consider prep time teaching because it's taking the time to prepare the tools that they need to be effective with their kids to teach them. You don't just get in front of a classroom without any preparation and teach kids in effective ways. So, yes, they will be being paid, because I think I'm not alone in understanding that prep time is actually teaching time.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Keeler. Well, you know, you can frame it the way you want, Representative Keeler, but we already have prep time for teachers, and we're going to be apparently paying them more for time when they're not teaching. And the testimony that we heard at the end here, I think, is very, very important. And you know, so we're going to be paying someone else, apparently, with this bill to come in and teach during the time these teachers are not teaching. That seems to be problematic to me. Certainly the teachers union likes it. Unions like to go and work for more pay and less work. And this is the less work side, the less teaching side. I don't think this is the right way to go. If they indeed do need more prep time, let's write into the bill that it's done on time that's their time rather than adding additional time or additional pay during time which they're not prepared. That's my thoughts on the bill. Thank you, Representative Keeler and Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. Representative Keeler, do you or any of your testifiers wish to respond?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. I guess I want to say our teachers work massive amounts of extra time that they're not getting paid for. Almost every single teacher that I've talked to, not only in my districts, but in many districts across the state, are putting hours, extra hours in each day of their own time for prep time. So I don't want that to be lost in this conversation. And I don't want to sit here and assume that every teacher, when the bell rings, they go home. Many teachers are in our schools for hours every night doing this on their own time. I think that adding designated prep time in their school day is actually extremely beneficial. I just didn't want to go without understanding that our teachers do give a lot of extra time.
Thank you, Representative Keeler. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just want to thank Representative Keeler for bringing forward this bill. You have been in the classroom. You've seen how it works. You acknowledge that the stress all of our teachers are under trying to fit in everything. You're right. It's never during their full duty day. It's always hours and hours afterwards. And for those of you who haven't been in a school for a while, there's teachers that don't even get a chance to use the bathroom because their prep time is so small and minuscule, or it's so full of doing everything they can to reach their students. Our students are more complicated now. There's a lot of amazing work being done in personal learning communities and sitting with other teachers throughout the school to make sure that they're not letting any kids fall through the cracks. All this bill is doing, from what I can read on it, is setting a floor saying, you have to have one or two uninterrupted prep times during the day so that you can serve students better. And I'm a little confused. Representative Keeler, there's nothing in your bill saying districts cannot go above and beyond this or be flexible with their teachers, is there?
Representative Keeler?
Mr. Chair, Representative Joaquin, no, there's not. And I think that districts who are doing more for their teachers are great. The reason this is coming up is we have 325 school districts in our state, and we heard from one today that is doing something really well, but 325 districts is a lot, and we don't know. We're hearing from many teachers all over from many of these districts that they're not doing, and they're not being as thoughtful as Principal Antone is with her school district.
Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Keeler. You said that very well. I really appreciate your effort in this bill.
Thank you. Representative Thompson, you have your hand up.
Chair, thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Keeler, for bringing this bill forward. I always appreciate the administrators that are coming to play and talk about the budget and how much money we're gonna spend, and I always appreciate that. Like, I didn't just watch our teachers on both sides of the river. One side threatened a strike, the other side just came back from a strike. And I always appreciate when teachers come forward with some of the things that they need. And it's not our job, because we're not in the classroom with the teachers every day. When teachers come to us and say, this is what we need, we should believe them. I do, because they have my baby. They have my kids. And so I always appreciate administrators when they come in and say, oh, well, I don't think that teachers need this, or I don't think that we need that, when they're not in the classroom. And as far as teaching, also, Representative Keeler, thank you again for answered that question. But I think it's only fair that we give the teachers what they need when they need it, because they are actually educating our future. I'm 100% sure that the return on our investment will be greater, be better for all of us, and our future depends on it. So the teachers need more prep time. Christ sakes, give it to them. It's not much to ask. You shouldn't have to come here and ask us for make sense policy. And so thank you, Representative Keeler. And I didn't mean to jump on my soapbox, but I just, it always, like, it just strikes me like when I hear the administrators who are not in the classroom, they're administrating the building. They're actually like the building, they're running the building. They're not in the classroom with the teachers. And the teachers show up and say, this is what we need. And we tell them, no, that's not what you need. That's just backwards. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question is for the author. Why are you overriding what we are used to doing during our bargaining of contracts? That's what I always experienced when I was in the classroom, is that we bargained with the school board and we came to a decision on prep time. Why are you overriding that process?
Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Erickson, because it's what our teachers are asking for. We've heard in many other spaces, and you bring it up, the learning loss that we've experienced. And that is only going to get worse if our teachers walk out our doors. Y'all, our teachers are telling us that they're done with this. They're done with hearing thank yous. We need to step up and actually do more. And so the reason that I'm bringing it here and overriding something is that our teachers are asking for this. When people in our communities say the system is not working for them, I just believe it's our job as legislators to lift that voice up and find a change that helps them. The average cost to retrain a new teacher with turnover is $20,000. So if we want to talk about budgets and we want to talk about impacts, that is the impact that I look at, is that we have teachers that are ready to walk out the door right now, and we know that we don't have the funnel of new teachers coming in to replace them at this point of time. And so I just believe that we're overriding this because it is a need. And if we don't do that now, again, 325 districts to do independent bargaining will take a much longer time. And this is a way for all teachers to be heard across the state.
Representative Erickson, any follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Keeler, are the teachers telling you then to just override, to get rid of collective bargaining? Because essentially that's what you're saying, is that they don't want to be a part of collective bargaining. Is that what you're after? And is that what your teachers are asking you to do?
Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Erickson, our teachers are asking us to step up and be a voice for them. So that's what I'm doing in this space.
Thank you. Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Were there others, or I was just going to close for our side unless you have others?
You're batting cleanup here, Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Representative Dabney and Mr. Chair. To the bill author, appreciate you bringing the bill forward. I understand what people may be asking for, but of course, this would override the collective bargaining process. There's pieces in here that must be approved by the Commissioner of Education. So this bill has a very low likelihood of actually getting to the governor's desk and getting signed. And I would just offer up, it's that time of the year and that season of the election cycle where we try to appease groups. And I wish you well with this, but I see very little chance of it actually going forward.
Thank you, Representative Kreisha. Representative Keeler, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I've been fighting in a world that small chances don't scare me. My teachers are really important to me. Like Representative Thompson said, I trust my teachers with my kids, and and a lot of what they do goes unnoticed. We've been saying thank you for a long time. We've been saying that we need to see and hear and lift up our teachers, and that's what I'm here to do. So thank you for the consideration. Thank you to the teachers out there who are listening, and to the inspiring teachers. We are here to be a voice to make this system better for you, because we want this to be a profession you all see, that we have your back in. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Keeler. And with that, Representative Richardson renews her motion to lay over House File 3926 for possible inclusion or for further consideration at a later date. Thank you to the testifiers for spending part of their morning with us. Members, our next bill is House File 4233 from Representative Edelson. It's our intention to lay this bill over by 11:15 a.m. Representative Feist, would you like to make a motion to move House File 4233 before the committee and to lay it over for further consideration and possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, so moved.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to the committee, Representative Edelson. Please introduce your bill. And I understand, am I correct that you have an author's amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I do. I realize that we didn't post it in time, so do you want me to discuss that now?
Representative Kreisha, I'm going to defer to you on this. We can have Representative Edelson discuss the amendment and not act on it, or we can act on it to give her the bill that she would prefer. What's your preference, Representative Kreisha?
You know, thank you for asking. It doesn't matter one way or the other. Go ahead and put your amendment on. I don't see any problem with getting in the bill author. Let's just not make it a common practice. And but I don't see any problem with you adding the amendment, getting the bill where you'd like it to be.
Thank you, Representative Kreisha. With that, the chair moves the DE3 amendment. Is that correct, Representative Edelson?
DE2, Mr. Chair.
My apologies. The chair moves Representative Edelson's DE2 amendment. Representative, would you please speak briefly to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Kreisha. I appreciate the grace that you gave me. So the DE2 is the result of yesterday we had pulled together some stakeholders, administrators from districts. We're really trying to figure out. I think it is overwhelmingly in agreement that, just to be clear, there are 300 papers that are due process papers that are a requirement for special education teachers to do. This due process paperwork really does create a burden where we have special education teachers that are working nights and weekends. It's one of the professions that we're losing the biggest on, but I will go to the amendment. The amendment is a result of the meeting from yesterday, working with AMSD, with superintendents, and really looking at how we can make this feasible. This bill is being carried by Senator Duckworth in the Senate. And so we really truly want this to be bipartisan. So what we looked at is allowing districts a little bit more flexibility in how they approach dealing with the due process paperwork that teachers have before them. So you'll see in the DE amendment that we allow some flexibility within four different categories for districts to be able to address the special education due process work. So I'll just go on line 2.3, and we go with additional 10 days of paid time. Now, this is something that Edina does that we have at the beginning of the year, or we will do maybe once every month to allow that teachers are able to get this paperwork, specifically special education paper. Teachers are able to get that work done. So they would be able to spend the funds there. They would be able to use the cost necessary for substitute teachers. They would be able to innovate flexible learning days, also providing due process clerks if they so wish, and then also the district and exclusive representatives cannot reach an agreement on a plan to use any of those, then they would go with clause C or one, which would be the additional 10 days. So this does give a lot of local control to that district still, but also does work to address the real true concern that we're seeing around due process paperwork.
All right. Thank you, Representative Edelson, for that description of the DE2 amendment. Members, the motion before us is to approve the DE2 amendment, giving the author the bill that as she prefers the form. Please unmute. This is a voice vote. All those in favor of the chair's motion on the DE2 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Nay. Motion prevails. Representative Edelson, anything more in the way of introduction of your bill now as amended?
You know, I would just, I definitely want to go to my testifiers. I just want to say, I thank Representative Erickson for her feedback and all the committee members and policy. This bill was heard there. I have two sons that have a special needs. They've been in special education since they were in preschool and they're now in sixth grade. I've been on the Special Education Advisory Council. Special education definitely is a passion of mine in making sure that we deal with our cross subsidy and the many issues that we face in special education. And so I just want to thank everybody for being open to addressing this issue today. This shouldn't be partisan, members. It really is trying to come up with a solution that we know exists in literally every single community in the state of Minnesota. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to my testifiers.
Thank you, Representative Edelson. First on the list, Jen Riello, special education teacher with ISD 622, the North St. Paul Maplewood Oakdale School District. Ms. Riello, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, thank you so much for having me here today. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. My name is Jen Rilio, and I am a special educator in my six-year teaching with the North St. Paul Maplewood Oakdale School District. As a special educator, I have the privilege of working closely with the high school students I serve and their families. Daily, I witness the impacts of disabilities on student learning. I entered this profession to be the bridge for these marginalized learners so they can better access the content and opportunities that their same age peers are already afforded. I am passionate about this due process bill because of the direct impact it would have on the students I serve. Often, I am not able to appropriately prepare meaningful lessons during my prep period because I am obligated to meet the due process deadlines and requirements that are dictated by law. Every day, I am forced to choose between the legal requirements of paperwork and planning instruction for the three different classes I teach. Students with exceptionalities deserve to have both high-quality paperwork and effective, well-planned, informed instruction to meet their unique learning needs. Our current system does not provide financial support to districts to encourage them to do what is right for our special educators that would afford them this time within their contract day. I'm asking you to support this bill so that students with exceptionalities, arguably the most disadvantaged populations in our schools, are provided with the best free appropriate public education that Minnesota special educators can provide, regardless of the district they attend. Please support special educators so that we can do right by our students. Thank you.
Thank you much, Ms. Rilio. Next, Maren Halden, staff attorney with the Legal Services Advocacy Project. Ms. Halden, welcome back to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you so much, Chair Dabney. My name is Maren Halden. I'm an attorney at Legal Aid, which includes the Minnesota Disability Law Center. Thanks so much for the chance to speak to this today. The Disability Law Center provides free legal services to kids and adults who have disabilities. And for years before working with all you at the legislature, I served as a staff attorney at the Disability Law Center and represented kids who have disabilities on a range of school-related issues. Usually when a parent would call our office, the first thing that I would do is ask the school for records. So I have spent countless hours reading the special education documents that special education teachers and school psychologists prepare. And it is a lot of documents, and they are really important. Special education documents, including the IEP, are, I think of them like the strategic plan for the year for that student. They include what the student does well, where the student struggles, the goals for the IEP that the IEP team agreed on for the year, what it would look like when the student achieves those goals, and progress updates, a lot like report cards that all students receive. Special education documents also include essential communications between parents and the school that foster collaboration. And that collaboration is a fundamental principle of our special education laws, that the people who know the child best, parents, teachers, and other school staff, work together to build a plan for the student so they can fully participate in school with their peers. Parents need the information in the IEP process and the special education documents in order to be full members of that team and so they know how their student is doing. But as you've heard, preparing these important communication and other documents takes a lot of time to gather the information and to prepare them. And usually what my clients needed most was a great teacher. Schools and teachers need both time to teach and do what they came to this profession to do, and to plan and communicate about that so that parents can be included in the process as the IDEA envisioned. Thank you so much, Representative Edelson, for bringing House File 4233, which would help ensure that teachers who are responsible for students receiving special education services get the time that they need to complete these important documents. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Halden. Last on my list of testifiers is Ramona Springus-Doss, special education teacher with the Rosemont-Apple Valley-Eagan School District. Ms. Springus-Doss, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Dabney. My name is Ramona Springus-Doss, and I have been a licensed special education teacher for over 25 years. And I currently work in a high school setting as a special education resource center, as a resource teacher. As a special education teacher, during the school day, my job is to provide systematic, specialized instruction to special education students in reading, writing, math, executive functioning, social and emotional, behavioral, and transition areas. Just like my regular education colleagues, I'm allowed 50 minutes per day to prepare and teach my classes, grade papers, and go to the bathroom. There are 187 student contact days. Thus, I get 187 hours per school year. However, unlike my regular education colleagues, I'm also required to complete federally required due process paperwork within timelines over which I have no control. That means I have to hold individual education plan meetings and write individual education plans for each of the students on my caseload, and no less than every 3 years complete a comprehensive evaluation and provide progress reports at the end of every grading period. This year, I will write a minimum of 25 individual education plans, each taking about 10 hours to write, progress reports after each grading period, and complete a minimum of 12 comprehensive evaluation summary reports. That takes about 20 hours to write. Quantifying this, I will spend 250 hours writing IEPs, 21 hours writing progress reports, and 500 hours writing evaluation summary reports. If you total that up, that's 771 hours. I am not provided with time during my school day to complete the 771 hours of paperwork. Thus, I'm working after school, at home, into the early morning hours, and on weekends to complete this paperwork. I'm always exhausted and feel underprepared to teach my students, the students who are the most needy students in my school. This being tired and feeling unprepared negatively impacts my ability to creatively engage students in learning and activities that are relevant and meaningful to them. Having time during my regular school day to complete due process paperwork would mean I could get more sleep, I would be a better teacher, my kids would have better access to me and the best of me that I could bring to the classroom. Let's face it, Minnesota students deserve a well-rested and well-prepared teacher to help them make academic progress. Thank you for your time, and please support this bill.
Chair Dabney, you're muted.
Thank you, Ms. Burt. When this hearing was posted, the public was provided with instructions on how to sign up to testify during the public portion of this bill hearing. We received one request for public testimony from Marcy Dowd, Assistant Superintendent of Specialized Services, the St. Paul Public Schools. Ms. Superintendent Dowd, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Dabney and members of the committee. My name is Marcy Dowd, and I'm the Deputy Chief of Schools for St. Paul Public Schools. I'm also the President-elect of the Minnesota Administrators of Special Education, or MACE. First, I want to acknowledge Representative Edelson for bringing this amended bill forward, which includes increased flexibility in the language and her continued advocacy for special education. We have all heard our special educators today. We heard two amazing educators continue to share their concerns regarding the excessive paperwork requirements of special education. These are real concerns. In St. Paul, we have contracted language that supports paperwork days. It is something we negotiated collaboratively with improving the work conditions of our special educators. We also have due process labs where teachers can come to the district office and get support in writing IEPs or evaluations. I can't say that this is enough time or support for every special education teacher. However, it is what we can provide given the current budget constraints. When I look at the amended bill and the flexibility in the language, it is extremely important. Some educators may have 5 students on their caseload, and another, like a speech clinician, may have 45 to 50. That flexibility is really important at the local level. It's also really important that 1 year you could have a lot of 3-year evaluations and another year not as much. That also needs to be considered when we look at supporting our educators. What works in St. Paul may not work in another district. And so it's really important that the local unions and district administration engage in this conversation collectively. The intent of this bill, the amended bill, is spot on, and it's what is needed to meet the needs of our teaching force. The impact of the bill on 10 days, if not fully funded, could cost St. Paul Public Schools an additional $3.5 million. We all know the cross-subsidy issue in special education, and for St. Paul, we are at over $40 million of cross-subsidy. It is important to support this bill but it's more important to support the fully funding of this bill so that we can provide the support needed to our special educators. We need to not promote something that continues to increase the cross subsidy while we are trying to support our educators. Thank you.
Thank you, Assistant Superintendent Dowd. Questions from members. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Adelson. You have certainly brought an awareness to the difficulty it is for our special education teachers to not only teach, but to fill out these forms. And so I hope that you will work on reform. The federal government and the state MDE have just loaded down our teachers with something. If there are 300 forms that they have to fill out, that's absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, my point here is that we need to work on reform first and foremost. My question is, and listening to St. Paul's testimony just now, my question is, Edina must have negotiated this kind of process in its bargaining with the teachers. Is that correct?
Representative Edelson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, yes, and the bill, the DE provides that piece of bargaining. I think Mrs. Dowd had, the Superintendent Dowd had alluded to that in Section C of Subdivision 2. I do allow for the bargaining. I was listening to Representative Erickson, too, and I think you made good points in policy. So I have amended the bill to make sure that we allow for some of that.
Representative Erickson?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. But my question, Representative Adelson, is like St. Paul is already doing this, Edina is already doing using this process and providing for some funding to cover this time period that teachers need to fill out all those forms and to prepare their lessons. Is that correct?
Representative Adelson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, yes, Edina had a task force, and it does come at a cost. And so, but this is not happening all throughout the state. We have, based on what district you're in, you know, it varies. And so wouldn't it make more sense as a state to, because this is contributing, if we pass this bill without funding attached to it, it does contribute to the cross-subsidy. So the reality is we know that there's a cost to not doing something. So why not address it if we can?
Representative Erickson, final.
Yes, one final comment is, you know, this seems more enabling to me than to move toward reform. So I hope that as you think about the needs, and you know very well the needs, Representative Edelson, that we think in terms of reform, because every time the state legislature steps in and bails out, we're enabling. And so we're going to avoid reform if we continue to do this. I'm applauding St. Paul and Edina for providing this. They can probably afford it better than some other districts, although with St. Paul having $40 million in cross subsidy, that's overwhelming. But reform is what is needed. So I hope that you will continue to work on this in the area of reform at the federal level and at the state level, so that our teachers are not overburdened with this paperwork, because this is taking away from teaching their children. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Adelson, for the DE amendment and for working with the stakeholders. I know you always, that's one of the things that's always on top of your list, to try to make sure that everybody can get on board. And I think the funding really does help, because you're right. It can add to the special ed cross subsidy, and it does take time. I do want to say, yeah, this legislation is enabling. It's enabling teachers to be able to do their job. And we did try to tackle some special education reform on paperwork back 3 years ago. Unfortunately, some of it we couldn't get past the Senate. And one thing to remember about the paperwork that we do have is some of the items that are added on top of the federal requirements are because parents have asked for that. And it is, as Ms. Holden said, kind of the strategic master plan and how to help some of our kids that have some of the most needs. So thank you again for bringing this forward. I hope it stays attached with funding, and thank you for the stakeholders for working on it.
Thank you, Representative Joachim. Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the bill author, thank you, Representative Edelson. So a couple of things. As I see your bill and the previous bill, what we're trying to do is overextend through the bargaining process what's already out there. Schools have the ability to do this. Edina has done that. Good on Edina. However, I'll extend to you that many of the districts, in fact, all the districts I serve, do not have the resources of Edina. If you just started the sports facilities alone and find out that I have superintendents that are driving a school bus during the day, you'll know that every mandate that comes from the federal or the state hits really, really hard in our smaller school districts. What I would extend to you, Representative Edelson, and you have a seriousness about this issue that we all understand. There's an overwhelming amount of paperwork and legalities for these teachers. Even when I was working in special ed 25 years ago, it was enormous back then. Here's what I would offer up. Rather than trying to simply skirt the issue by doing changing the paperwork requirements and more time, which is equivalent to going to the gas pump right now, in my opinion, and simply crossing out the numbers and saying that we fixed the gas prices. What we really need to do, and there is a bipartisan appetite here. I worked with former Representative Paul Thiessen to put together a matrix of all the mandates, all the legislation, and what we need to do, and I will offer this up, Representative Edelson, is in a bipartisan way, we need members from both sides who are willing to have those hard conversations. There are mandates that need to go away. We need to quit expanding the IEP services. We need to quit adding new categories. Every year, you're right, parents and groups will come up and ask, but every time we do that, we make this a very unwieldy and very bloated process for our special ed teachers, who at the end of the day just need to be able to get their students through the learning process so that they can reach the potential that's in front of them. Every time in good intentions, we have a bill that comes through that adds to special education mandates, we're not doing any favors to anybody. In fact, what we're doing is we're making it more challenging and we're reducing the available services and time and talents of our special ed teachers. Your bill speaks to the need of doing that. Your bill speaks to the need of actually reforming this process. And I will offer to you, we need a group of legislators who are willing to fight the legal community, the lobbyist community, and some of these other communities to stand up and say, let's find out the actual universe that we can support with funding and how those services happen and allow schools to negotiate the rest, but let's stop throwing mandates at them. If we don't stop as legislators, if we don't stop approving things, we will never, ever, ever help them. And so, Representative Edelson, you bring up the strong point of let's get to those reforms. Let's have those hard conversations about what mandates we can remove, what legal requirements we can remove. We had the legal aid testifier here. The legal community is what's holding our schools hostage with fears of lawsuits that filters all the way down to special ed teachers. If you've talked to your teachers, as I have, the biggest concern they have is the very next lawsuit. So, Representative Edelson, I respect you bringing this bill forward. I respect you for talking about the process. But let's put the Sharpie marker away and let's really go to the heart of the reform. And I'll work with you on that. I'll help sponsor those very tough pieces of legislation. I'll take the arrows with you as we try to change these mandates and reforms.
Thank you, Representative Kreshaw. Representative Edelson, any closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Kreshaw. I would welcome working together. I guess what I would just say is, you know, we can streamline the process, but some of the paperwork is there for a reason, for protections for students. I agree that some of it can absolutely be streamlined and would love to work together with you on that. So, members, as I said, I truly do make an effort to make sure that we as a body can have things ultimately at the end of the day that we can all support. Because at the end of the day, I can promise you that parents in every single one of your communities and teachers in every one of your communities do not care if you have an R or a D behind your name. They don't care. What they know is that their teachers right now are struggling with this cross-subsidy for decades. And most of the paperwork, let's be honest with ourselves, comes from the federal government. So it's not something we can necessarily fix here. So I think we need to be honest with ourselves that this is a problem. We do have a cross-subsidy issue.
but we are also not paying for the work that teachers are doing. We are not paying them. The teacher Ramona explained that. We need to pay for the work our educators are doing. We are losing special educators at a rate that is unacceptable. I ask that you support the bill, and I just thank everybody for the discussion today.
Thank you, Representative Edelson. And with that, Representative Feist renews her motion to lay over House File 4233 as amended for possible inclusion or for further consideration at a later date. Thank you to the testifiers for spending some of their morning with us. Our final bill for the day is House File 3506 from Representative Erickson. It's our intention to lay this bill over for further consideration by 11:55 a.m. Representative Erickson, would you like to make a motion to move House File 3506 before the committee and to lay it over for further consideration and possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do move House File 3506.
Thank you very much. Representative Erickson, please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for this opportunity to present to you House File 3506. A little history, first of all. Back in 1975, the Minnesota legislature determined that there was a need to serve every student in the state with provided services, and it has, of course, been modified since then. That was, you know, to ensure that parents and students had choices. And so over the years, we have provided much for our non-public and even for our non-public tribal contract schools and grant schools. So this proposal today is, I think, a clarification, because the law as it was set down back then and has continued on said every student. And so the elementary students have not been receiving counseling services or mental health services. And this is a clarification that the law should include them, since the original law said every student. So 3506 makes that clarification that elementary students will also receive those services, and also provides a modification to the calculation of how the support services would be based. And that would be on the average public school expenditure for those services. So, Mr. Chair, with that said, I would like to hear from our testifiers.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. I do see testifiers on my list, starting with Mike Haugen, principal of the St. Mary's Mission School on the Red Lake Nation. Principal Haugen, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mike Haugen. I'm the principal at St. Mary's Mission School on the Red Lake Indian Reservation. I'm very thankful to come here today and speak in support of House File 3506 that would extend counseling services down to aid to kindergartners. I'm really proud of the success that our school is having. St. Mary's has been serving the students of Red Lake Nation for over 130 years. We're really being successful at teaching our kids what they need to be successful. We're being successful with a group of kids that have a lot of challenges that are coming to them. Depending on the source I use, right now, 70% of our students are from families that live below the poverty line. On our reservation right now, 500 children are currently in the foster care system and are being raised by family members or being raised by their grandparents. An alarmingly high rate of babies are being born addicted to drugs. And as many of us know, suicide rates on reservations with Native Americans are higher than any other group in our country. The challenges that we have for our students moving forward are real. But I'm really proud of our students, their determination to be successful despite these setbacks. Speaking on this bill as an educational leader, I can't to say how important counseling and mental health services are for these students to be successful. We're currently funding, the state is currently funding 7th through 12th grade students at non-public schools for counseling services. But as we come back from COVID and as we see the current mental health crisis that we're in, that funding is needed at a much younger age to reach younger and younger students. In my role as principal, every single year, I have to remind third and fourth grade teachers of their QPR training, which is their suicide prevention training that we do. I have to sit down with teachers and help them write scripts for when students come up to them and say that they're thinking of self-harm. I have to tell our teachers that you need to ask, are you suicidal? Do you have a plan? Are you safe? Who can you call? That's every single teacher at our school needs to know those things, and are those questions are being brought up to them. As we continue to deal with the aftermath of COVID, we need to respond to students' mental health. And these issues are becoming larger and larger and larger. Every time my school has returned from distance learning, we have had to respond to students who are actively engaging in self-harm and suicidal thoughts. That's something that has happened each time the three times we've gone to distance learning, we come back, we have kids in crisis. And that's our kids, but every school in the state is dealing with kids that are in mental health crisis because of the pandemic that we're just in and the living conditions that they have. We consistently have to write safety plans for students as young as third grade. And promoting mental health is something that needs to happen in public schools and non-public schools alike. We need to find a way to meet our students' needs before they're in the hospital. The state's already providing this funding for secondary students. This bill is just going to give the same level of support to younger students who are increasingly coming to us in crisis. In order to respond to this crisis, we sat in on a roundtable with the American Indian Catholic Schools Association, and we just talked about what each of our schools are doing to be successful with suicide. The one thing that came out that was consistent and the only thing that was successful was small group counseling with young elementary age students, giving those students the skills to support their own mental health as young as kindergarten, first grade, second grade. And more mental health support for students is something that all students need in order to be successful. Thank you for the service that you all provide the state of Minnesota. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about my support for House File 3506.
Thank you, Principal Hogan. Next on the list is Maya Pauling, head of the Heliker Minneapolis Jewish Day School. Ms. Pauling, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Sorry about that. My name is Maya Pauling, and I am the head of school at the Heliker Minneapolis Jewish Day School. Thank you to Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I am testifying today on behalf of the Minnesota Association of Independent Schools, also known as MAIS. Just by way of background, MAIS is a diverse consortium of 18 independent schools from Duluth to Faribault here in the Twin Cities. They range in size, scope, and pedagogy. They are secular, religious, single gender, or boarding schools. In total, MAIS Schools serves over 9,000 students who are socioeconomically, geographically, and racially diverse and employ over 3,500 Minnesotans. I'd like to thank Representative Erickson for bringing House File 3506 forward. There may be presumptions that non-public schools have plenty of resources to provide counseling services to all students, but the truth is that some non-public schools don't have the resources. Because of COVID, mental health needs are even more significant than ever, and we need your help. At Heiliger, we have seen a significant rise in anxiety, depression, and a whole host of other mental health issues, beginning with five-year-olds in our school. It is especially stressful when there is a threat locally or nationally to Jewish institutions. Heiliger is housed in the St. Louis Park JCC. It impacts the social and emotional welfare of our students and families, whether they are in grade 7 or in first grade. They are impacted at any level when a threat to a synagogue, a JCC organization all over in other parts of the country, or other Jewish day schools. Our youngest learners are impacted by what it means to be a minority group targeted. Expanding counseling services to provide strong support and early intervention is a benefit to everyone. Hilacher is a K-8 school, and the vast majority of Hilacher graduates go into nearby public school districts. It would be prudent and beneficial to all to invest in the healthy development of these children now and not wait until they are in junior high and high school. Early intervention and support is key. By helping HF 3506, you are supporting early intervention and will only strengthen students' outcomes and their readiness to learn, grow, and be successful contributors to society. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pauling. Next and last is Jules Nolan, a school psychologist. Dr. Nolan, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. President and members of the committee. I am Dr. Jules Nolan. I'm a licensed psychologist, nationally certified school psychologist, and the past president of the Minnesota School Psychology Association, and I am here in support of this bill. I work as the president of a company called Phoenix School Counseling, and we put counselors into non-public schools in the Twin Cities and greater Minnesota. I work with about 40 schools right now, and when Ms. Pauling mentioned the 9,000 students that MACE works with, I work with more, and there are many, many more in the state of Minnesota who are in grades pre-K through 6 who don't get any funding at all for school counseling. There's more than 42,000 kids in the state of Minnesota who get zero services from public funds in their private schools. We know, it's not just our opinion, that early intervention is the best work that you can do. Yale Center on Emotional Intelligence tells us that every dollar we spend in prevention, in mental health and social and emotional learning, yields a $10 increase or $10 worth of increase in intervention savings. So when we intervene early, we save money immediately. We know that 1 in 5 kids has a diagnosable mental health or behavioral health condition, and that was pre-COVID. Now we think it's more like 1 in 3. We know that most kids who get intervention get only what they get in school. So if, 25% to 35% of kids in classrooms have a diagnosable mental health condition, only about 30% of those kids get help. And those kids only get the help that they get in school. We know that when we spend money on prevention, we help with the societal ills that befall our communities as they unfold as kids get older. We know that kids who can name more emotions in grades first and second grade have less anxiety and depression in sixth and seventh grade. The research behind this is very robust. I have seen firsthand schools struggle because they can only afford 3 hours a week of counseling. And that counseling only goes to seventh and eighth grade kids. I have seen counselors have to turn away kindergarten through sixth grade kids because the funding does not provide for this. I work with urban schools that are underfunded. I work with greater Minnesota schools that are underfunded, and all children in Minnesota deserve to have this kind of intervention. Thank you so much. Please support this bill. It is critical for the mental health of the kids in our state.
Dr. Nolan, thank you. Questions from members? Representative Erickson, it appears that your testifiers have raised the issues, including issues of underfunding schools and needs of students and mental health concerns in the public and private sectors. And no one has any further questions. So any closing comments?
Well, before I close, could we have Mr. Strom comment on the fiscal note? It was prepared last year, but according to his note to me, that funding probably has not changed. So could we hear from him, please?
Certainly. Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, the fiscal note was done on the Senate side for Senate File 925. And while it was done last session, it shows what the increase would be to extend the elementary counseling to the non-public schools. This formula for the non-public pupil aid formula is essentially 2 years delayed for cost data. So I don't expect that the estimates will change much from that. And then those amounts are increased by the growth in the formula in the meantime. But I suspect those estimates are still very close, and that puts the elementary counseling aid a little under $2 million for fiscal year 23, and then that would be growing at a relatively small rate for each subsequent year.
Representative Erickson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Strom. And in my closing, I just want to remind all of us that starting in 1975, when the legislature created 123.40, that the statement, the declaration of policy, was that every school pupil in the state will share equitably in the education benefits and therefore assure all Minnesota pupils and their parents freedom of choice in education. So again, I believe this is a clarification and a modification of the pupil aid as it would be paid. So thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for your support.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. And with that, Representative Erickson renews her motion to lay over House File 3506 for possible inclusion or further consideration at a later date. Members, we'll look forward to a full week next week. We thank you for your time and attention today. We are adjourned.